Welcome to Gospel Truth with Andrew Womack, a teaching ministry emphasizing God's unconditional love and grace. This special live teaching entitled Hebrews Highlights was recorded at our 2008 Boston Gospel Truth Seminar and is being broadcast exclusively for our radio listeners. And now, here's Andrew.
Praise God. Let's turn back to Hebrews chapter 10. These are the verses that I've used every night, and then we've gone to other verses in Hebrews in different places to just amplify on this. But Hebrews chapter 10, verse 19 says, "Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way which he hath consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say his flesh, and having a high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised." Boy, there are some powerful things in there. And this is now our fifth time to be just talking about this. And I've said some things that are so contrary to our religious culture today, and yet it is foundational to Scripture. Hebrews and the book of Romans are kind of the bedrock of the New Testament. They are the basic revelation. We don't know for sure who wrote the book of Hebrews, but I believe it was Paul. It says over in the 13th chapter that Timothy is set at liberty, and it's definitely somebody who is of Paul's time and of his stature, and this is consistent with his writing. But Romans was written by Paul, and these provide the foundation of our faith. If Romans and Hebrews aren't your two favorite books, or certainly in the top 10 in the Bible, then you don't have a real good revelation of the gospel. This is just foundational. And we've been saying some things that are really strong. And I want to just again thank you all for the way that you've received this, because there's lots of times I try and say these things and I can't say it because the people are so upset they aren't receiving it, and you have to stop and spend so much time explaining things and going into explanation that you can't go very far. You guys have been like a sponge. You've just been soaking up everything I've got to say. So that's really, really good. And again, that's an indication to me that the Holy Spirit is doing a work in people's lives. There is a real receptiveness to the Word of God. So we've covered a lot of powerful things. If this is your first service, I really encourage you to get the teaching from the entire thing, because I've covered the bulk of the things that I'm going to say. Tonight, what I need to do is kind of tie up the loose ends, answer some questions. I've had dozens of people ask me these questions, and I said, I'm going to try and deal with them, so I need to answer these questions tonight. Real quickly, let me just make some of the major points. I've talked about the difference between the Old Covenant law and the New Covenant grace, that the Old Covenant is not something that we mix with the New Covenant. They aren't the same thing. They aren't compatible. They are incompatible. And you have to get away from the Old Testament law way of approaching God. It says right in these verses that we have a new and living way as opposed to the old and death way. The Old Testament law was called death. And I've got a lot of teaching on this. I've got a book that we advertised tonight on the true nature of God that would go into more explanation and give you a lot of specific scriptures on that. Another thing that I've made is that the reason that God is pleased with us is because he's a spirit, John 4:24, and he sees us in the spirit. And in the spirit, we are a totally brand new person. We were created in righteousness and true holiness, Ephesians 4:24. We are a new creature. Old things have passed away. All things have become new, 2 Corinthians 5:17. And so that is true in your spirit, not in your physical body. And the moment you get born again, Ephesians 1:13 says you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. So, as a Christian, all of your sins have been forgiven. In the Spirit, you're perfect. And if you sin as a Christian, that sin may give Satan an inroad into your physical body. It might give Satan an inroad into your mind and into your emotions, but it doesn't penetrate the seal around your spirit. Since God is a spirit, he's always seeing you in the spirit, and you can approach right into the very throne room of God if you are in spirit And in truth, if you are basing your relationship on who you are in Christ, not who you are in your carnal self. Man, that is a wonderful truth. And I got a book out there and a teaching entitled Spirit, Soul, and Body. It goes into a lot of explanation on that. That's the major teaching that God used to change my life. But I've had a number of questions along this line about, well, if that's true, if your spirit is sanctified and perfected forever, which is what we talked about this morning, Hebrews chapter 10, verses 10 and 14, and then Hebrews 12, 23 says it was your spirit that's been made perfect. If that's true, if your spirit is perfect, well then what about scriptures like, for instance, 2 Corinthians chapter 7? Let me turn over and just answer this quickly. 2 Corinthians chapter 7 says in verse 1, therefore, having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and of the spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. And I've had a number of people come up and say, well, that scripture talks about cleansing ourselves of the filthiness of our flesh and spirit. This is going to be a quick answer because I got a lot of things I want to cover tonight. So this is a shortened version. I've got a teaching entitled Eternal Redemption. It's in my Redemption series. It'll go into more detail and you can get that. But basically, this starts off saying, having therefore these promises. When you see the word therefore, you got to look and see what it's there for. That means that this verse is dependent upon the previous promises that were made. So back up into the sixth chapter and look at what some of these promises are. He said in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 14, be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness, and what concord or communion hath light with darkness, and what concord hath Christ with Belial, or what part hath he that believeth with an infidel? And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For you are the temple of the living God. As God has said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Wherefore, come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you, and will be a father unto you, and you shall be sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. Having therefore these promises of not communing and being stained by the unbelief and the corruption of unbelievers, having these promises, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit. It didn't say of all filthiness of the flesh and spirit. This isn't talking about your spirit being defiled and contaminated. It's saying withdraw from other people, not only physically, but don't let their spirit, their attitude contaminate you. This isn't a scripture that is talking about your spirit being contaminated, but it's saying that you need to withdraw from people, not only physically, but you need to get away from that. Application of this today would be, not only do you not go to the bars, but don't look at movies and things that portray all of the stuff that goes on in the bars. Don't even associate with it. Don't let that spirit, that attitude, come into you. The word spirit in the Bible, in that we always quote? Strong's Concordance. It can mean a number of different things, but it also means a mental disposition. When you say that, boy, they have great school spirit, or they got, you know, the Boston Red Sox, man, what a spirit that their fans have. That's not talking about a spirit like the Holy Spirit or a demonic spirit, are a part of your anatomy, this spirit. It's talking about a mental disposition, an attitude. And so that's the way that this is used. You not only need to separate yourself from the ungodly in actions, don't go there, but don't get that attitude. Don't have their mental disposition. Cleanse yourself of that mindset that they have. Everybody see that? This is not talking about your spirit being defiled, because I've got a lot of scriptures. I only touched on a few of them, but there's a lot of scriptures that you are sealed with the Holy Spirit. You are sanctified and perfected forever in your spirit. So your spirit cannot be defiled. It does not get contaminated. You open up a door to the devil and when you sin, so quit sinning, but it doesn't affect your spirit man. Here's another question that goes along with this. based on the things that I was teaching, that we are sanctified and perfected forever, in Hebrews chapter 9, verse 12, that we have eternal redemption, Hebrews chapter 9, verse 15, that we have eternal inheritance. Some people say, so then it's impossible to lose your salvation. You must believe once saved, always saved. And I have people ask me questions about scriptures that talk about a person becoming reprobate or something like this. And this is a complicated issue, and I could spend an hour and a half talking about this. I'm going to give you the shortened version, okay? And if you want more information, you can go get that teaching on eternal redemption, and it'll answer it in more detail. But here's what I believe about this, that you can't lose your salvation in the sense that you lose your car keys or lose your glasses. You can't remember where they were. I didn't want to lose them. I just lost them. You can't lose your salvation because God has forgiven you and it's over and God has done it. You can't lose it. It can't be done by mistake, but the scripture says that you weren't forced to get saved. You had to choose God, and you can renounce your salvation. You can't lose it. You can't send it away, but you can renounce your salvation. You can turn away, and just as Adam and Eve, they were eternally in relationship with God. Their spirit was in total relationship, and they were created to never die, but they had a choice, and they chose to turn away from that. And when they did, they died spiritually. And I believe that a born-again Christian can renounce their salvation, but it's not done through sin. Sin isn't what sends anybody to hell. Like I was saying this morning, the Lord has already forgiven your sins, past, present, and future. And really, it's the only sin that the Lord is convicting people over is the sin of not believing on Him. John chapter 16, verse 8 and 9 through 11. So that's the only thing that's the issue, is a person born again. And once you're born again, all of your sins are forgiven. And see, this is really contrary to most religious people today, because they say, no way, you can't tell me that a person who just went out and committed adultery and was on their way driving home from committing adultery, if they have a car wreck and if they didn't have time to repent and get that thing confessed and under the blood, and if they die, you can't tell me that a person that had just committed adultery and hadn't repented of it could go to heaven. It's quiet in this Presbyterian church.
That's all the time we have for today, but be sure and tune in again as Andrew continues to teach on the book of Hebrews. This teaching series was recorded at our 2008 Boston Gospel Truth Seminar. It's available in a 5-part album on CD or DVD for a gift of any amount. Ask for CD series R1061C or DVD series R3206D when you make a donation to Andrew Womack Ministries. The fifth CD in this album is also available for a donation of any amount. However, for those who are not able to give, Andrew and his partners will provide this single teaching free of charge. All you need to do is request RK156 titled Nagging Questions when you write or call, and we'll be pleased to send it to you. Our address is P.O. Box 3333, Colorado Springs 80934. Or you can use the speed and convenience of credit card to make a donation by telephone. Call 719-635-1111. Again, that's 719-635-1111, or go to our website at any hour. You can use credit card to order any of our ministry materials online 24 hours a day at www.awmi.net. Remember, your donations to this ministry keep Gospel Truth on this station Monday through Friday. We hope to hear from you today.